Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Is it possible to hear this passage and not mentally conjure up images of a wedding? White dresses, tuxedos, flowers, hope, and an exciting future ahead. This is the love chapter, after all. It is used in many weddings and perhaps was even read at some of yours. Undeniably, it is a beautiful image of love and a worthy read to start a marriage. However, Paul did not write this scripture with a marriage in mind. He did not write it with the intention of it being used to celebrate formalizing a romantic relationship. This chapter is, in fact, a continuation of what you have heard over the last couple weeks that Patrick and Linda both preached on. If you recall, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, a church that is in deep conflict. The Corinthian Christians are abusing their freedoms, refusing to share, scorning their neighbors' spiritual gifts, boasting in their own gifts, seeking recognition for themselves, and jockeying for position in the church. The problem is not the lack of spiritual gifts, but the way in which these gifts are being exercised. Paul has spent chapter 12 honing in on the importance of community, of interdependence, and now he is telling the people how to live that out. Practice love. This passage is not being read to a community on the brink of a beautiful marriage of sorts, but rather to a community on the brink of a bitter divorce. As Paul talks about love, he is not offering pious reflections on the way things should be, or of admonishing the people to be perfect. Rather, he is calling the Corinthians out on their behavior. Everything that he says love is not, they are embodying. Everything he says love is, they are not embodying. But Paul is also not creating a framework for perfection. If you do these things, you will be the best Christian possible. Being a patient person is not necessarily love. Being a kind person does not necessarily mean you are embodying this love. Paul is telling the people of Corinth and us today that love is not something that springs forth from our actions. Rather, love is the action that we practice. This is something that does not come through well in the English translation of the Greek. We hear love described by some static adjectives. Love is patient. Love is kind. But if we could read it in the Greek and have it embody that more, it would say something more like love shows patience. Love acts with kindness. Here, when we see it, hear it that way, love is a busy, active thing that never ceases to work. It is always finding ways to express itself for the good of others. The point is not a flowery description of what love is in an abstract, theoretical sense, but of what love does. Especially what love does to one's brother or sister in the church. We have to practice love. Love is the subject of the action. Love is not just another spiritual gift, but it is the way God intends us to practice all of our gifts. Love is practicing patience. Love is practicing kindness. Love is practicing not being boastful. Love is practicing selflessness. Love is practicing endurance. This love that we are to enact springs forth directly from the love we experience in Jesus. And that love was expressed in action. It was the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that embodied God's love for creation so fully. It was not the feeling of love that God gave us, but the action of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. We are surrounded in this world of conflicting images of love. We are in the love month. And the culture tells us that it is about a feeling. Love needs to make you feel good, or perhaps it's not really love. And we are living in a world that is in need of real love more than ever. We are not in need of a feeling, but of action. We are not people in need of superficial love that sounds good but lacks substance. We are a world in deep conflict, much like the Corinthian church. Paul never tells the Corinthians, or us, that this love is supposed to feel good, but that true love is not measured by how it makes us feel. In the context of 1 Corinthians, it would be better to say that the measure of love is its capacity for tension and disagreement without division. This is the love our world is in desperate need of. This is the love that transforms a person, a family, a church, and a community. This is the love that causes a person to lay down their pride and work for the good of everyone. This is the love that caused people to open up their kitchen for furloughed government employees. The love that causes teachers to stay late at school working with one child who needs help. This is the love of a neighbor who brings a meal next door when someone is hurting. This is the love of a spouse or a friend or a parent who puts the desires of their family above their own. This is not a love we can practice on our own. Paul says, "Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known." We have already been fully known by God, and God loved us anyway, as Patrick was reminding the children. God sent God's Son to die and was raised again, and because of that, we can practice the love that God showed us. That's what we do at this table today. We practice love. The joyful feast we take together springs from the greatest act of love we have ever known. This feast nourishes us to continue to practice love. So today, as you come forward to take communion, I invite you to think of how you can practice love. What is God's act of love igniting in your heart? How are you moved to practice being in this world of tension and disagreement without division? You are love in action, so practice. Amen. Amen.